Yeah, that's what I want to know. How many people did you call before you got to me? That's what I want to know. That's what I was thinking about afterward. I'm like, he could probably tell my voice. So I was like, I'm sure we can figure out something, you know. I mean, we'll take care of it, you know. But the more and more I got to thinking about it, the more and more I kind of got excited because I've been having a lot of things through Sunday school and other stuff, you know. And that's a plug for those people looking for Sunday school. We got 3 or 4 people, and we got 4 or 5 more spots in that room in there. So, but we're doing a video series on why, if I can spell it, what are we here for, okay? So it's kind of just like understanding God and trying to get to know God and help our relationship, because that's what God wants from us. He wants us to know him and have a relationship with him, you know. And so you'll probably get a little bit of that tonight, because it's about relationship with Christ. And, you know, it brings back, I seen Martha and Charity, and I was like, you know, it's something that really hit home a long time ago. I think about it all the time. It's like, you can get baptized so the frogs know your middle name, but that don't do you any good, right? So, and then I think about religion, you know, and a lot of people say, oh, Christianity's a religion, and Christianity's not a religion. And, you know, Christianity, and a definition I heard the other day was, religion doesn't save you, only Jesus Christ does, right? But religion is man's attempt to reach for an idol or for God, you know, and Christianity is totally opposite. That's God reaching down with the Holy Spirit and dwelling in us, you know. And so it's got nothing to do, no comparison ever, you know. I mean, so that's what we need to make sure of all the time, you know. We are the temple. We don't have to go to the temple. God made us the temple, and the Holy Spirit lives in us, right? So it don't matter where we pray to, which direction, God knows, you know. So I'm going to be in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, and we're going to go verses 1 through 8. And when we get to key verses 4 and 5, really. All right, in chapter 13, verse 1. This is the third time I am coming to you. In the mouth of 2 or 3 witnesses shall every word be established. I told you before and foretell you as if I were present the second time, and being absent now, I write to them which heretofore have to have sinned, and to all other that, if I come again, I will not spare. Since ye seek a proof of Christ speaking in me, which to you word is not weak, but is mighty in you. What was going on here was the church of Corinth, which you got to remember, Paul originally preached the message to them where the church got started in Corinth about Jesus Christ. And now they're kind of doubting Paul, and they're doubting that he's really speaking for God. So Paul's writing a letter to them. And even though a lot of them are doing good, but there's a lot of things going on, things that are creeping into the church. And so he's trying to get to them and say, hey, look, don't be talking about me. You know, when you're talking about like that, you're talking about, look at yourselves, you know. So that's what he's fixing to say. So in verse 4, he says, for though he was crucified through weakness, yet he liveth by the power of God, for we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God toward you. In verse 5, he says, examine yourselves, whether ye be in faith, prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. But I trust that ye shall know that we are not reprobates. So he's trying to lift them up and go, hey, don't get distracted by trying to point fingers at things like that. Trust in God and trust in all the things that we've taught, and make sure that your heart is pure and you're looking at it. So in John, if you look at John 16:7, it says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go away, the Comforter will not, if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you." So part of knowing that we're following the right path is knowing that that we have the Holy Spirit in us. And we're going to get to a point in a minute. You mentioned something in that song that we picked out about noise. And that I really want to harp on, because I think that's what's going on a lot today in my life and in other people's lives, that we need to make sure we don't cut out the noise and listen to the Holy Spirit. So John 14:6 is when Jesus said, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give ye another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever." And in the Greek, the Holy Spirit is pronounced Parakletos, which para means alongside, and kletos means helper. So you have a helper alongside of you, you know. So we can always remember that, you know. And the church was doubting Paul's apostleship, like I said. So they're asking for proof that Paul is who he said he was. So Paul's telling them, hey, the Holy Spirit inside of you is going to tell you whether I'm telling the truth or not, so you can bear witness with each other. So how does this apply to us today? I wrote, it says, we should be able to pull up proof of Christ in us. To know that Christ dwells in us is the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. So, I mean, the church of Corinth was compromised by choices that people were making, and they were compromising with some of the worldly things, which I think goes on today in our church. And it weakens our church, and it distracts us, really. So I think that's the biggest thing, is it distracts us, you know. And distraction from our Father is not good, and our Savior is not good. So we look at, and I'm on Facebook, okay, but Facebook, gossip, all kinds of other things that go on today, and it just gets us distracted, you know. I mean, I go home and I got a 12-year-old and a 19-year-old who's in college, and I go home and man, if the Wi-Fi was down, it would be a bad day. That's what I'm saying. So, because there's iPads going, there's cell phones going, there's all kinds of stuff, computers going, and it's like, sometimes like, whoa, stop everything, you know? We're going to sit and talk for a minute, you know? I mean, sometimes we just get so caught up in all that stuff that we got to reel it back in. So, and I don't know if that happens at your house, but it happens in mine. And I see people on Facebook all day long, you know, and I'm like, I don't know how I could stand it. I couldn't stand it, you know? I mean, I get on there occasionally and try to post some good stuff, you know, and everything, and but just wow, it just takes over sometimes. So sometimes we get so busy on worldly things and what we may call noise that we fail to hear the Holy Spirit talking within us, because you know the Holy Spirit's not loud. I never, you know, and I think that's why I wrote down here, I'm like, we got things that happen today: fear, intimidation, terrorism, anxiety, all kinds of things going on in our lives, and all this, and we're just so busy with things of the world that sometimes the still, small, quiet voice of Jesus and the Holy Spirit within us, sometimes we fail to hear it, you know. I put on here that evil, I think, gets loud because they think God's weak. I mean, all these people think God's weak because of when they read the Bible, they don't understand it, number one. Because he appeared when he's silent. You know, he was quiet a lot. In the temple, he turned the tables over. Otherwise, you know, he was just went and didn't complain, didn't do anything. He didn't, and he died on that cross for us, you know. But What they don't realize is the power over death that he had when he rose again, you know? And so I think that a lot of people, when they read what Jesus did, they look at it as weak, and they realize that they think that Christians are weak. And we let them sometimes, you know? We don't stand up for a lot of things because, you know, it's kind of conflicting. Sometimes I get conflicted whether Jesus wants me to stand up and fight, you know? Or do I just speak the truth and let everything fall where it may, you know? So sometimes I get boisterous, and I talked to the pastor about this one time. Is my brother, so I talked to him, and he wants to argue about things, you know, theology and whether God exists and things, and I get all fired up, and so I start kind of attacking him with Jesus Christ, you know. I mean, it's I don't know, I'm getting off the subject, but you know, we can't do that. You know, we got to go with love first. You know, we got to love them and tell them, no matter what, I love you, and you know, I'll tell you what I believe and why I believe what I believe, and that's what you go with, you know. And it doesn't hurt to learn, you know. I mean, there's a lot of things out there. Apologists, I've been doing some apologetics and listening to some things, and I want to take some classes, but to help me be stronger in doctrine and stronger in the history and everything, understand it better, so that when the questions do come up, because some of these questions, just like we talked about a lot of cancer today, you know, the question is, how can a loving God allow cancer to exist in there, you know? And, you know, how do you answer that with people? You answer that with, you know, we didn't deserve to be where we're at today, you know, because of sin and all those other things, you know. And I don't know what's going on inside my body. You know, I hadn't had a scan lately. You never know, I might have something going on. But, you know, we got to trust and know that God, who created this world and sent his son because he loves us so much, that his son died for us, that we just got to trust him, and we got to know that we're in his hands. He hadn't let a promise go by that he hasn't fulfilled that's come up this point, you know. So what makes us think that the promises that he's made for us now is not going to be fulfilled? So if you look at 1 Corinthians 1:18, I didn't write this one down, but it talks about how the unbelievers don't understand God's word. It says, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God." They don't understand the power of God, you know, and everybody's not. There's people that argue with us, and I've learned from Pastor Joe and learned from other people that you just can't argue and argue and argue. You just got to state the truth, let them know the truth, and I don't want to shake the dust off my boots for some people, but, you know, you just let the Holy Spirit do his work. Yeah. So, all right, in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, it says, "Examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith, prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. But I trust that ye shall know that that we are not reprobates." So we need to test ourselves, you know. You know, you remember back when you got saved, right? Or the last time God did something in your life. Okay? And you think about that time when he was really working in your life. Is he working in your life now? You know? So. So I think we ought to do that, you know, all the time. We ought to test ourselves. We ought to do the litmus test. You know, when's the last time you felt the Holy Spirit talk to you? You know, these altars are always open. Or we need to do that, check it. You can do it anywhere. You can do it at home. Just do it somewhere quiet. where there's not no noise. You know, just get quiet. And ask God to search your heart. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So I encourage you, if you still fall back into your old ways, you know, get right with God, you know, and check up. So he's got a mighty work to be done in your life, in all of our lives. So if we were in Christ and we have the truth in us, you know, the truth, nothing can go against the truth. The truth is the absolute truth, you know, and no matter what people say, what people do, when you go back and look at all the examples in the Bible and what Jesus wanted us to do, he wanted us to always be the truth and don't offend anybody. Just tell them the truth, you know. You don't attack anybody. You tell them the truth, you know. And he said, don't be caught trying to not be truthful in something. Always be truthful so that no one can have anything against you if you tell the truth always, you know. And this world's totally opposite than that, right? Let's get ahead and whatever cost it is, you know. And we define success totally different, you know. This world does. And we put other things before God. Sometimes we even put family before God, you know, and family's important. Don't get me wrong, but God's the most important thing, you know. So but that's kind of where I got, and I just think that what's wrong. Sometimes when I look at the things that happen in the world and all the things going on, you see people, anxiety attacks, all kinds of things going on, you know, and plus, you know, the fear, just like whenever he called me, and I was like, wow, okay, what am I going to preach on, what am I going to do, you know, and I'm like, so I started having some things kind of in my mind, I started looking it up, and I was down in Macon, but he don't know that, but I was down in Macon, and I was like, I ain't going to have a whole lot of time to study. What am I going to study on? And I go, I don't need to study. I know what I've been talking about and thinking about, you know. So I just look up some verses, and I think the Holy Spirit just led me, you know. And it talks about fear, right? I mean, fear, intimidation, you know. And I'm like, I'm not going to let, you know. I say, hey, it ain't often that Pastor Joe gets the opportunity, you know, give somebody to come up here and preach, you know. I said, I'm no preacher, no, by no means, but I want to give the chance to, say what I got to say, because God, it bubbles up inside of you, you know, and you got to say something, you know. Sometimes it's great to get more practice, you know, talking in front of people and doing things, but and I said, I ain't going to let that fear stop me, because I'm going to do it. So I appreciate the opportunity, even though I was way down that list, I know. But all being said, you know, I said, I've been working on my relationship with God, trying to understand what he is, what he wants me to do, you know, and what he wants us all to do. All right, number one, there's three things that he wants us to do. Or I'll say four things. And number one's to know him. Number two is to know him. Number three is to know him. And number four is to love him, right? And I think when you know him, you love him because you know what he did for you. You know, and all the things he created, how can we not? I mean, how can you not look around in this world of nature and see that? And then you think about, you know, and I know we have loved ones that pass on, and we don't understand why things happen, but it's going to happen to all of us, you know, and we're going to pass on. We just got to make sure everybody we know is saved, and they're going to be on the other side with us, you know. And, you know, just think about heaven, you know, and Jesus had been gone for 2,000 years working on that, and God built this in 7 days, right? So I mean, it's going to be a spectacular place, you know. But I know we hurt, and we don't understand some things, and one day we will, you know. Or one day it won't be a concern, you know, when we see Jesus. I have a bunch of questions I think I'm going to ask, you know, but I think I just won't ask them, you know. But I just pray, you know, everybody make sure our relationship, you know, and the people that we know and love, that their relationship with Jesus Christ is right, you know. And that's all I got to say.
Amen.
Thank y'all.